Well, now, folks, I know the answer to this question. It's been 2 weeks since I was here with you, and I know you don't remember anything from that message. But just a simple reminder, we talked about after Jesus was resurrected, how he appeared to the disciples, and how he instructed them to go and what to do, and wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit had come upon them. And they obeyed, and they went back to the upper room. And 10 days later, on what we call the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. And in Jerusalem at that time were many devout believers. And we talked about how those devout believers had traveled hundreds and in some cases thousands of miles to be obedient to God's command, to be and attend the feast. And devout believers also heard the rushing sound of the Holy Spirit. And the main focus of that was, I tried to end it, was that you are devout believers today. That's some 2,000 years ago, since the time Peter stood up and preached at Pentecost until now. 2,000 years have passed. And still, we have devout believers with us. And the message was that Jesus had told the disciples to go and be about his business. And they did. A timid, reluctant Peter turned into a profound preacher that affected thousands of people on the day of Pentecost. The people stood up and they served. And those people that heard, those devout believers, when the feast was over, they returned to their homes in Libya, in what is today present-day Iran. Iran stretching up into the Afghanistan and the Pakistani border, parts of India, all over Arabia, which includes Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Kingdom, the Emirates. It's a vast area. All of Judea, up in Turkey. That's how far the gospel spread when those people returned. The devout believers spread the news, the good news of the gospel. They went about the Lord's business. And folks, we are to be about the Lord's business now, serving here today. You know, I pray that the following statement can never be applied to us. Because this came, Jesus quoted this saying, and as we think about our lives, he quoted this saying from the prophet Isaiah, and he applied it to the Pharisees. These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. I don't believe that that truly applies to anybody here in our church today. But you know, we have to be honest. There are a lot of apathetic Christians in the United States today, in the world today. There are too many people that do pay lip service that don't really serve the Lord. As Brother Terry prayed in his very eloquent prayer this morning, that aren't grateful for the things that we have, that the things that the Lord provides and gives. I pray that that will never be us. So let me ask just a few questions as we continue on. As you reflect and think about your life, you know, we all have our ups and downs and times that we go through, but to what extent do you actively seek the Lord in every aspect of your life? You know, we sometimes want to compartmentalize our lives. We want to have our church life totally separate from our work life, totally separate from our social lives. And we only want God in a portion of it. Is God in every aspect of your life? Folks, there should not be any part of our life that we try to hide from the Lord. I mean, how foolish is that anyway? The Lord knows your hearts. He knew you before you were born. He knows every aspect of our life. So why should we try to hide anything? We just sang, and 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Shouldn't we truly, if we want to be fulfilled in our lives, trust him with every portion of our life? It doesn't matter what part. There's nothing we can hide from the Lord. We need to trust him completely with everything. Now, I wish I could take credit for the following quote. I like it, but I can't. A person named Elizabeth Elliot said the following. If you believe in a God who controls the big things, you have to believe in a God who controls the little things. It is we, of course, to whom things look little or big. Now, how true that is. There's nothing too big for God. No matter where you are in your life, there are no mountains that can't be moved before God. We can do anything through faith in Christ. God is greater than all of your fears. He is greater than all of your concerns and your troubles. His grace is greater than all of our sins. Folks, we serve the Creator of everything. We serve the God that knew you before you were born. Trust Him with every aspect of your life. Trust Him emphatically, completely, totally. We need to be looking towards God for the big things, but the little things too. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Most of us have memorized this by heart. But what a wonderful passage of Scripture it is. You know, it's directed towards young people, but it's directed to all of us. I'm pretty old. Matter of fact, I'm getting myself in trouble because I tell my little grandson that I'm fat and old. Well, now he runs around, he's repeating that, and he says, "Grandpa, you're fat and old." So I'm going to have to stop saying that. But sometimes I don't feel my age. In my mind, sometimes I flash back and I think I'm 20 until I start to do something, and then I quickly learn differently. But this applies to us no matter where we are in our life. Trust the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. And you folks, there's a key sentence there. In all your ways, not some of your ways. If we want God to truly lead our lives, we need to acknowledge Him in every facet, every aspect, every part of our life totally. And only then will He direct our lives. If we try to hold back, think of the prophet Jonah. We can't hold back anything from the Lord. We need to trust Him emphatically, completely, totally. And we need to be obedient, just like those people that we first mentioned, those devout believers, just like the apostles. Here we are some 2,000 years since then, and the kingdom of the gospel age is still growing. Seek the Lord with all of our hearts and pray that He will direct our paths. And before we get into the main topic, I just want to share a couple more scriptures with you. Why is this important? Because, folks, I've said this many, 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 many times. And you can't say it enough. Sometimes redundancy is needed. Repetition is needed to get it in our hearts and in our minds. So it's just muscle memory almost. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God loved us. He knew us. He created us before the foundation of the world. He created good works for us to do. And He knew you. So why would you want to hide anything from the Lord? 2 Timothy, and this was in our opening reading, in our call to worship. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. How much greater of a God could we have? Before time began, folks, He covered us with His grace. And He had a purpose. He had a purpose for each of us. You ever thought about it? You ever thought about the time that's transpired? You know, God knew us. He appointed us a time to be here on the earth that He created. He appointed a time for you to be here, to have influence on other people, to share your testimony, to have faith, to grow in grace, and to fulfill the purposes that He created you to do. But you know, along the way, sometimes life gets kind of difficult. Sometimes we suffer for our faith. Sometimes it's not always easy. When the crisis comes in our lives, when the heartache comes and we don't have good explanations why. And that's where faith kicks in. But regardless of, folks, what we struggle and what we go through, I love these words that Paul gave in a letter to the Romans, chapter 8:18. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And folks, they are not. I made the analogy last time. Those people that traveled hundreds of miles, and in some cases thousands of miles, to be obedient to what God commanded them to do. You know, that took a long, long time back in that day. People have always sacrificed, have always served, and in some cases always suffered in our call to be obedient to the Lord. That will never change. As long as this world continues, there will be sacrifices that have to be made. There will be hard times. There, folks, there will be so many good times if we look for them. So many good times. The more we try our best to fulfill the purpose that God created us to fulfill, to trust in Him, those good times, I think, are revealed to us. You know, we can look around the world and we can see all kinds of things we don't understand, that we don't like. But there's also a lot of good things. To see your faces here and to know the faith that you have, for me, is just so uplifting. But it's not just confined to this church. We see it when we go outside this church, too, if we look for it. And folks, I'll remind you, you're not the only ones doing the looking. Other people are looking, too. What do they see when they look at us? It's important. God created us for a reason. And there is a purpose. And folks, there's also a time element involved. This, the gospel, Jesus referred to oftentimes the kingdom of God in this age. Well, we are in the gospel age. The gospel kingdom started back there when Peter stood up and preached, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, and it's continued on. And he explained that to the disciples and to the followers. And he did it through parables. So I want to read three parables to you because they're all connected. And I'm going to read through the first one and then explain the next two. And then we'll go back to the first one that we just read. Turn with me, please, and this is our main topic, to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 24 all the way down to 43. And we'll stop along the way. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servant said to him, 'Do you want us to then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Now, folks, we're going to come back to this parable. But I want you to see here that there's a growing season. There's time that goes by from when the seed was planted until the harvest will come. There's a time, a season. And there's occurrences that will happen at the appropriate time. But Jesus didn't stop there with this parable. He went on down to give other analogies. And the next one is the parable of the mustard seed. And I think it's been about 2 years ago, I filled in for Brother Pat one day, and I had a message regarding the mustard seed and the parable of it. And I'm not going to obviously redo that entire message, but we'll just touch on it. Because it goes in line with this first parable we just read about the wheats and the tares. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." Now, folks, I think you all probably understand this parable very well, but just to review it, the seed is sown from the Lord above. and he places it in our hearts. You might call it infertile ground in all of God's children, all of receptive hearts, all of his people that know him. The seed is sown. But it takes time for it to sprout, for it to become a little sapling and to grow. But the mustard seed plant is unique in that, yes, it's a herb, but it's not just a bush. It grows much bigger. The mustard seed plants in those days and in that part of the world could actually grow to be 25 feet high. And the branches had up to a 40-foot span. And they had a lot of other interesting properties. The oils from the mustard seed tree and from the plant had some type of microbial antibacterial type of properties, because animals would get up underneath it. They would rub against the bark, and it helped control parasites and pesticides on the animals. They got there under the shade. And even the birds came and they nested in the branches. Now, folks, we are like mustard seed plants. We should grow from a little sapling into a bush and into a tree as our faith grows with time throughout our lives. Do other people come to us to look to us for faith, to find shelter under our faith and calm? We said this Proverbs was directed towards young people. Well, folks, there's a few spring chickens here amongst us today, but most of us, to use an old country saying, are getting long in the tooth. And our branches should have spread out pretty far by now from life's experiences. Our faith should be strong enough that we can give shelter and calm and advice and guidance to those that are younger than we are. That's what the mustard seed tree did. But folks, that's also emblematic of the church. And it's emblematic of the gospel age. You see, it started out very, very, very small. But it's grown for 2,000 years now. The gospel, I believe, the prophecies are being fulfilled that Jesus spoke. It's been preached in every country of the world. Throughout this world, I don't think there's a foot of territory where the gospel hasn't been preached. Now, it hasn't been received everywhere, but that's not what Jesus said. He said it would be preached everywhere. See, the gospel kingdom age, I can't say that it's finished growing, but it has become a full, mature mustard plant. It's a tall tree. It's been growing a long time, some 2,000 years. He then went on with another parable that's very similar, the parable of the leaven. Now, oftentimes when leaven, which means basically yeast, is given, it's talking about the leaven of the Pharisees, it's kind of referring to bad, negative things. You have to be very aware of the influence that you have from other people. See, negative influence can ruin something. And Jesus mostly was preaching how the leaven or the yeast of the Pharisees was poisoning the people. But here he uses it in a very positive manner. He said another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven or yeast, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. Now you think about for just a moment, leaven and bread being baked. The yeast is mixed. Now, Angela bakes some wonderful bread, and she knows about this a lot better than I do. But the yeast is mixed in, and it has to be the right amount. But it takes a little bit of effort, and it takes time for the bread to rise. Usually, it has to be baked in an oven, but sometimes it can even just be put in the sun. It takes a little bit longer. But it's not instant. It takes time for that loaf to rise and to grow and become a finished, complete, nutritious loaf of bread that you just can't wait to taste. And so should we be to other people. The faith within us should be springing up. It should be growing. When we trust God with every aspect of our life, it's growing ever stronger each and every day. And it's true in the church. But folks, it does take work. It takes time and it takes effort. One of the biggest problems I think we face in our lives today is we are such an instantaneous society. We want everything right now. But you think about all the people, all the children, they don't have attention spans anymore. You know, even when I was younger, we didn't have the electronic devices to focus on. We had to use our imaginations to go out and play. And you focused on task until you completed it. It seems like it's all changing. We want instant gratification anymore. We're not patient like we need to be. And patience builds perseverance, and perseverance builds trust, and that builds our faith in the Lord. So folks, all this is to summarize. It's been a long time since the gospel kingdom first began. It's still going, it's still growing. And we have a part in this kingdom here on this earth. Jesus put us here for a purpose. He knew us before the foundation of the world. He created us to do good works. We have responsibilities to serve in any way that we can. We all have different talents and abilities. No matter our health, no matter our age, no matter what, we can pray for other people. And that is a blessing, because the Bible tells us that fervent prayer accomplishes a lot. We can all do something in God's kingdom. We all have an influence on people each and every day. And have you ever thought about it? People that were born 500 years ago, the conditions they lived in, they were put there in that time and place for a reason. Before time began, God knew us. He created us. Me and you, we are here today for a reason. To do the good works that God prepared for us to do. These good works may have been somewhat different from somebody 1,000 years ago. But there's one common denominator. It's faith in God. And another one, obedience to God. And it is to do the things that He has commanded us to do. Just like those faithful, devout people did 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost. They sacrificed, they served, they traveled to keep God's commandment. Folks, we need to be doing the same thing no matter where we are in our lives. If we travel somewhere else for whatever reason, even on vacation, it is an opportunity for other people to look at you and hopefully see Jesus. Are you bearing witness? Are you serving God in your work capacity? You know, that's difficult now because sometimes we're persecuted and prosecuted and looked down upon. But in some way, we can let other people know that we are a believer. It's incumbent upon us to do these things. He created us to do these good works. But now we need to go back to that first parable. Because Jesus went back to that first parable, the parable of the wheats and the tares. You see, the disciples went to Him and said, "Please explain this to us." And so when they were by themselves, He did. Starting in verse 36. And then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And His disciples came to Him saying, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." Now folks, I think most of you know this. I just want to stop for just a moment. But this is a very sobering message here. It's not politically correct in any way. So what? It comes from our Lord and our Savior. It is God's Word. And whether you believe and agree with every word that's written here really doesn't matter, because Jesus spoke it and it's true and it will come to pass. And we need to embrace it and endorse it and recognize how it applies to us and what element we play and participate in this. "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." And He answered and said, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man," or Jesus Christ. If you stop right there for a moment, what does the Gospel of John, how does it open? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Right at the very beginning was Jesus Christ with God the Father. And it is Jesus, the Son of Man, who sows the good seed. And the field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. And so folks, right there, and I know sometimes I'm too maybe repetitious, but there are two types of people in this world. There are God's children, and there are those who are not. Jesus is very explicit right here. The field is the world, the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. and the reapers are the angels. All right, so right there. You have a growing season. You have a very beginning when the seed was sowed, or the seed was sown. You have a growing time when the wheat and the tares grow up together. You see, sin is in the world. We're not isolated from it. It's all around us. We can't always explain it. We see all these bad things that happen. But it is growing right here with the wheat and the tares together. Until the harvest time comes. Until the end of the age. You know, when Abraham stepped out of his tent and God spoke to him, he said, "You will be a blessing to all the ends of the earth." He told Abraham to look to the sky and count the stars and number of them if you can. And he said, "So will your descendants be. And they will be a blessing to all nations." God's children, like the number of the stars. It takes a while for all of God's children to be born. And the way I view it, the way I interpret Scripture, this gospel age will continue until all of God's children are born here on this earth. Until we've all fulfilled that purpose. And it goes on to say, the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of the Father. He who has ears, let them hear. You know, how often do you hear hell taught about anymore? It used to be preached all the time, but that's been 75 years ago and further. You don't hear hell taught about much anymore, but Jesus mentioned hell many, many, many more times than he talked about heaven. There is a real hell, and that's where the wicked are headed. He's very clear here. It's not politically correct, but it's true. Who can say anything to the Lord? It is the Lord who created all. It is the Lord who is holy. It is the Lord who knows things that we don't know. And if that's what the Lord says is just and righteous, then we need to trust him at it. You see, sometimes it's hard when we don't understand to trust God. But this is God's word. It's not my word. It's not your word. And it doesn't matter if we understand it. Sometimes we have to trust it. And folks, we need to be praying. Because think about what I said just a moment ago. You are right in the middle of the field with the tares as God's children. And we have an influence on those around us. And it's hard to distinguish between the wheats and the tares. When I do more research on this, the tares that grew up and what they're referring to, the words that were used in the original Greek language, it was very, very difficult to tell the difference between the wheat plant and the tares. It wasn't until later on when they started to mature, as you might say, bear fruit, that you could tell. And we don't know who God's children are in all this life because God's grace falls upon people at different points in their life. You see, there's that age thing that we talked about again. It takes time to develop. But folks, one thing that you cannot run away from, you cannot escape, and you cannot shirk the responsibility of, you have an influence on other people. We are supposed to be doing the good works that God created us to do. One of those is sharing our faith. Another is praying. Another is praising God. Three simple things that we can all do, no matter how difficult our life may be. You see, we all have different gifts. We all have different talents. We were placed here at this given present time to have an influence on people around us, to be witnesses to God, of God to those people. Some people that we might think is a tare may not be a tare at all. They just may be a slowly developing wheat plant, just like that thief on the cross. And we need to be praying for those people. And we need to be conscious and aware of what influence we are having on them. What are they seeing when they see us? But folks, make no mistake. And I find this beautiful at the very end. When we think about the end of the kingdom, when all of God's children have been born, whenever time that is, when judgment day comes, and there will be a judgment day, the wicked will be taken care of as God sees fit. But his children, the righteous, will shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of the Father. You thinking about that glorious sun shining in the morning when it comes up, how brilliant, beautiful it is? So we will be in God's kingdom. Romans chapter 8, again, I want to read this again. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And this is what Jesus is referring to. What will be revealed in us? We are sons of the Most and daughters of the Most High. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Look what the Lord has done for us. He has transformed us. He has renewed us. He has cleansed us in his precious blood. And we are sons and daughters of the Lord. And we need to live like it. And folks, if it takes some additional time commitment and obligation to serve him, by serving others, by serving your church, by serving your family, we need to do it because we were created to do good works. Now, as we close, I've made this reference now a few times. It's a time element here. It's a time element for the bread to rise. We're all given different lives. I pray that it's rising in all of us. The mustard seed plant, it takes time for it to grow. The gospel kingdom, Jesus said, at the end of the age. We don't know exactly when that end is. But in the gospel of Mark, turn with me there in your Bibles, if you would please. Chapter 13, verses 32 through 37. And I believe with all my heart, folks, we are very, very close to being fully ripened loaves of bread. I think the end of the age is coming close. But I don't know that, and nobody knows that, and Jesus tells us right here. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Only God the Father knows. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. If you stop right there, we don't know when the day will come. We don't know. But he warns us, and this is to God's believers, to his children. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work. There's that word again, work. We all have work to do, folks. And commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all. Watch. You see, folks, we need to be aware of what the Lord commanded us to do. He told us, use our talents, use our gifts, use our lives. Give your testimony. We all have a different story, don't we? We need to be watching for the Lord's return. We need to be living a life that represents him and our appreciation, our gratefulness to what God has done to us, to the revelation that he's made known to you. And see, we all have a different testimony, don't we? Because all of our lives are different. We are individual. And your testimony may be similar to mine, but yours is unique to you. You might say, folks, our lives on earth are kind of like a book. Now, what will somebody read if they read your story? What will they find in the testimony that you have left behind over this time span? A novel filled with encounters of ups and downs as normal in life, with joys and tears spread along the pages? And will there be evidence where you loved and trusted and served the Lord from the beginning to the end? Will the reader see Jesus Christ in your story? I pray that he will. Or will it only be an attractive cover on the outside that looks good, but as that old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover? And when they open it up, would they find only a few scarce entries and a lot of empty pages with lip service only? I pray that we don't turn away from our responsibilities and duties to serve God as He's commanded us to do. Because we do leave behind a story. And other people will read those stories, folks. They read it when they watch us, how we live our lives, and how strong our faith is, and how often we give God the glory and praise Him and thank Him for something as simple as our daily bread. Are you eagerly waiting and watching? Are you living today like the Lord is coming? You know, when you know somebody's coming, if you know the boss is about to come in, you're looking, you're prepared. And I can remember this happening when I was in school. Sometimes the principal just would pop in and sit down and watch the teacher teaching. And they got nervous. Even I could see it as a child. Folks, the Lord is coming. What will He find? What will He find? Only you can review your life. Only you can judge to what capacity you're serving God in whatever way it may be. And folks, as I look around this sanctuary, I see talents that far exceed my own. I remember the love that you people have given out over the years, your faithfulness, your attendance through thick and thin, the way you pray for each other, the way your faith has been strong, how you've shared hardships and crises in your lives, how you've shared stories and praise reports. These are all evidences of serving God. I just want to encourage you, do all that you can to serve the Lord. Because we all have gifts and talents and abilities in some way or another. We can be serving in our personal lives, in our church life, in every aspect of our lives. Folks, you never know. You just never know. Serve Him with all your heart. Love Him with all your heart and soul. And let the story that people read when they pick up your novel, let it be a love story for Jesus Christ. Because you never know. What if today was the day that He was returning? With all my heart, I give thanks for each and every one of you, for the privilege to be here today, and for God's Word. May He add His blessings is my prayer for all of us. And folks, I do want to thank each and every one of you for your service to our church.